Hey, listeners, you are about to experience one of our exclusive episodes recorded at Missionary in Jacksonville. We're excited about Missionary Conference. If you want to listen to all of the interviews that we've captured all at once before they premiere in the main podcast feed, we're talking conversations with Jim Renahan, Paul Washer, Conrad Mbewe, and more. If you want to get all of those now, go to missionspodcast.com/premium, and you'll be able to get them all in advance before anyone else does. And use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get your first month of premium membership for free. So again, go to missionspodcast.com/premium. Use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get it for free for the first month, and you'll get access to everything. And now, enjoy this exclusive episode from Missionary.
Welcome to missionspodcast.com, the show that explores your hard questions on helping goers think and thinkers go. I'm Scott Dunford, live from Missionary with a good friend, Brad Buser. And before we get into our important conversation, I just want to highlight all of our content from Missionary is going to be on our website. Go to missionpodcast.com/premium. Type in the code MISSIONARY, all caps. You can get all of our exclusive content. And for 1 month, you get all of that for free. So go to missionarypodcast.com, premium, and type in MISSIONARY. You can get all of that for free. So, Brad, it's so good to have you on the show again. I'm glad you got to see how the sausage is made. It's terrible without Alex here. Without Alex, I'm a mess. But you understand that. You and I have, I've known you. You haven't known me as well for a long time. I was a pastor in Mid-Michigan. You were a missionary out of a church in Mid-Michigan. And so I've got to see you while you were on the field briefly. And now you're in a different stage of ministry. And as we have a lot of missionaries, especially that your generation is kind of starting to move off the field. And yet, as I've watched your life in ministry, I've seen up close what you've been doing with Radius, how you've been involved with mobilization. Can you just walk me through a little bit of that? Like, what's that like when you give your whole life to foreign missions, then you transition to living in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
And what were the hard parts about that? And then we're going to, maybe I'll follow up with like, how did you find your footing again in being able to still be effective in missions in this part of your journey?
Yeah, everybody's story is really different. Okay, so I won't say my story is typical, but it was the route that the Lord had for Beth and I. Back in 1995, 96, we were seeing the end of the Teddy translation being done around 1999. And we were asking the Lord, Lord, what do you have for us next? Maybe it's to be out of ministry, just go back in the workforce, you know? Right around 1997, New Tribes Mission, the organization that we were serving with, they asked us to be a general rep for them. And we told them, well, we got 2 more years of translation work, we can't do that. But we came back off the field, the translation was done, the Teddy Church was on its own, and we went around to our supporting churches, and New Tribes had seen us be, you know, good at mobilization when we were on furloughs. Mm-hmm. And the supporting churches had recognized that too, and so they absolutely affirmed that. So for 10 years after we were off the field, I was a mobilizer full-time with Radius. While doing that, saw a lot of missionaries that came home way early. Okay. Mm. And one of the running themes was, man, they just didn't know what they were getting into. They didn't know how hard it was going to be on their marriage, on their parenting, on their kids. Mm-hmm. They were completely unprepared. They knew their Bible, they loved the Lord, they were ready to suffer, but they didn't know the reality of how difficult it was going to be. And so 2005, the idea was launched to start this thing, which is now known as Radius International. Mm-hmm. And that has been all-consuming. Getting it going took us about 6-7 years, okay? Getting a location, getting staff, getting the first guinea pig students. I had to write a letter of apology to all those guys. But, and now it's just a joy and a privilege at this point in our life to invest in the students that come down to Radius. My wife and I just pinch ourselves that we get to make use of all that we learned on the field and did on the field.
Was that a hard transition to go from, I mean, we talk about the transition of getting to the field and how hard that is. How have you seen missionaries transition off the field, especially when they're like getting closer to retirement age? Is that a hard transition?
meant for us, one of the difficulties was, as we left New Guinea and Etete in particular, it's like, man, will we ever do anything as significant as what we've just done? Man, is our life really on the downhill slope from this point on? And it was kind of troubling. And then we had deep friendships. Man, these missionaries that we'd served with, the Etete people, will we ever have real friends at that deep level again? When we came back, a couple things we had to fight. We had to redefine friendship. These were not those type of friendships that we had in New Guinea, but they're good friendships.
Okay? Yeah.
And then we had to get over being critical. Man, we'd seen life hard in New Guinea. And to come back to my church and to the North American church and just to pinch ourselves and realize these people are walking in the light they have, okay? And don't judge them any differently than that, you know? So once we got past that judgmentalness, man, I think that the Lord allowed us to be used at a different level. We were 44 and 43 when we came off the field. We had a lot of ministry left in us. Man, I was traveling like crazy all over America for a good 10 years with New Tribes. And thankfully, my wife was able to hold the fort down with our youngest son. Our three older kids were grown and on their own. It was a blessed time, but I kept, you know, the whole time I'm traveling and speaking in different venues, I'm thinking, there's got to be more. And then for this idea of Radius to be floated out there, yeah, I think all the connections that we made in the U.S. church, the experience that we brought from the field allowed Radius to get off the ground.
You know, in America, we just value youth so much. You know, I mean, I remember when I was joining ABWE's home office, one of the leaders asked me how old I was 39. He goes, oh, that's great. Even better than I thought. And what in his mind is he thought I was in my 40s and he was thrilled that I was even younger. And, you know, now I'm 48 and there's just a reality that kind of sets in when you hit your midlife of like, this is who I am. I think that's why a lot of guys kind of struggle because they always were moving up. And now you're like, this is who I am. Like, I'm not going to get better from here. I'm probably going to, you know, my body's falling apart. And yet you can have a fruitful ministry in that middle section, in that later section. What would be some things that you would say to missionaries who are getting ready to retire from the work they were doing and transition to something very different, to stay focused, not lose your heart for the nations, not kind of give up and just go to missionary village and cash in your chips?
One of the things we teach very deliberately to our students is how you end your time of service overseas is going to have a big impact on your next level of service. Okay, Beth and I went to the leadership of our region. I was part of it, but in 1995, guys, we think we're done here in 1999. Come and look at the church. Come and evaluate. Maybe we're pushing it too quickly, too slowly. We don't make that decision on your own. You get the blessing of guys serving with you, because sometimes missionaries pull the plug too early, and they don't have a track record that they can look back on, and it's endorsed by others, not just them, but by others. That transition is really, really important, and meant to be able to go forward in the next stage of ministry with a clear conscience. And we did our best. The church is real. We had to go back and visit the Etete Church every year, you know, to make sure. But I think, you know, doing that in concert with other missionaries that validate, because honestly, I've seen guys serve really, really well, whether it's 15, 16, 17, but they pull the plug a year too early. And they have to live out a narrative that has a lot of holes to it.
Yeah. So I already mentioned I'm 48. I've got young guys that I'm pouring into. But I'm finding myself more and more really feeling like I need help in this next stage from guys, you know, 10 or 20 years older than me. And I also find that a lot of people in that generation just don't feel like they have got something to offer. So what would you say to maybe we can both chime in on this, because I have my own thoughts about it, but like to those recent retirees, right? That like, what do you see the young people still needing from them in this next phase?
I can only speak from the guys I'm talking to down at Radius.
Because I've seen you talk to those guys, so I know you're doing it.
Yeah.
They value the years. They value the stick-to-itiveness. They value the track record. They value what Beth went through. You know, and she doesn't have a lot of face time on campus. I mean, she's there. But, man, they value how she raised four kids out in the middle of the jungle. And again, the caliber of people that are coming to Radius, they're different. They're just different. We're teaching cream of the crop people.
Yeah.
So that ageism that is very real in our culture. These guys are not subject to it. Longevity and having a track record, they value that. So we don't feel diminished in any way. I mean, I can't travel as much as I used to. I can't, you know. Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's things I can't. I'm 69. Yeah, there's just things I can't physically do as well as I could 20 years ago. But to be part of it down there, and to take those classroom hours and impart the principles of, you know, how to do ministry, how to do church planning, how to ride through the seasons of sickness. You're not prone to depression. You're just having a bad season. Get over some of those terms. You're not a victim. You just had a bad, unfortunate thing happen. And I don't know if this is a place to share, but my wife growing up back there in rural Michigan, things happened to her that the individuals would be in prison for. But you know what? It's just being a teenage girl. Yeah, and that was just unfortunate. But she didn't grow up being a victim. And you know her parents, yeah, they taught her and modeled, man, be rugged. You know, don't make a big thing out of something that's kind of common. You know?
Yeah. I just recently had a retired pastor just reach out to me, took me out to lunch, listened to my story, encouraged me, prayed for me, offered to fill my pulpit when I was gone. Man, that just, I needed that. Yeah. You know, more than I realized I needed that. And I, you know, that all these mission agencies are feeling like the pull of attrition as, you know, and that's been coming for a long time, you know, as the baby boomers, which is a very large generation. But it was even before that. I remember when the greatest generation was retiring and I was hearing the stories of like, we're not going to be able to fill the mission field. But that's just our appeal, my appeal. You know, if you're listening to this and you're getting ready for that next stage, take up that unique season that God's given you. And who knows, God might use you to start a Radius. or he just may use you to encourage a pastor or a missionary that just needs prayer, needs encouragement. And I think when we are active in serving, it gets us out of our pity party, too. Yeah. I have a great man in my church. He's in his 90s. And his wife died, and he was devastated because he loved her so much.
Yeah.
And he was asking God, why am I not dead? And then over the next 4 years, I've watched him care for the widows and the other seniors in our church. He routinely takes my wife out on dates, which I would be jealous if he was not in his 90s. But it makes her feel great, but also serves me so well to have this man really caring for my wife and just being a grandpa to her and just letting her be herself. And he serves me that way, too. And I love that. And if we had a whole generation of missionaries retiring and serving in that way, what an impact that could have on mobilization, but also keeping people in ministry longer. So thank you, Brad, for modeling that. You and your wife, you don't know me very well, but I feel like I know you well, just from even from my ministry in Perry Baptist and how they loved and appreciated you and your family and your family's legacy in mid-Michigan. So
thank you. Always fun hanging out.
Yeah, thank you. So thank you for tuning in, and until next time on the Missions Podcast, go make disciples of all the nations.